You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. If you missed your favorite program, don't worry. You can listen to podcasts of our program at cjsf.ca.
Now they are demanding dowry for bridegroom, not to the girl.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
ಮನೆ ಅಂಗಳದಿ ಬೆಳೆದೊಂದು ಹೂವನ್ನು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಮಡಿಲೊಳಗಿಡಲು ತಂದಿರುವೆವು ಕೊಳ್ಳಿರಿ ಮಗುವನ್ನು ಎಮ್ಮ ಮನೆ ಬೆಳಕನ್ನು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಮಡಿಲೊಳಗಿಡಲು ತಂದಿರುವೆವು ಕಠಿಣಗಳ ನೆಳೆ ಸುಳಿಯ ಅದುರಿ ಬಾಳುವಾಳು ಹಿರಿ ಮಂಜು ಬಾಳಿಸದ.
The song you are listening to is in Kannada, the language of the state of Karnataka. The occasion is the end of the wedding ceremony when the bride leaves her parents' house and has to accompany the groom to his house. The singer is requesting the groom's parents to treat this flower grown in the yard of her parents' house gently, to take her into the family as their own child. She who has been the light of the parents' house will now take to the new family and make it a family happy home. Such sentiments are used in songs bidding farewell to the bride in different languages in different parts of India. It's a very sentimental, gentle scene of a family bidding farewell to their daughter. But then there are other not so very sentimental, gentle scenes of the marriage. This show is about one such, that of dowry, which has become a bane of marriages in India, both before and after the ceremony. I asked my young friend Rupa to find out what actually is dowry and how it is affecting the lives of hundreds, thousands of young, newly married women. Rupa has been a student of journalism and is now doing fundraising and publicity, public relations job for an NGO looking after the problems of the disabled, especially the physically disabled. Come, Rupa, tell us how dowry is defined in the laws.
Dowry or dahej is the payment in cash or kind by the bride's family to the bridegroom's family along with giving away of the bride called kanyadan. In Indian marriage, kanyadan is an important part of Hindu marital rites. Kanya means daughter and dana means gift. The point of the dowry system was to provide for the bride should something unfortunate occur with her husband, such as death or divorce.
Great. So what are we worried about? It's just a bit of money given to a bride at her marriage.
Well, if it was just providing for the daughter for possible problems that come up in marriages, it would be wonderful. What worries us today is the way the system has grown to make parents of brides go into debt, brides being sent home to their parents, or even burnt. All of us are aware that the system of giving dowry at the time of marriage still exists. Yes, it does sound disgusting and distasteful, but let me tell you a little more about it. The dowry system has been in place even before the written record, and it has been used by parents in every country imaginable. Especially in the Indian society, daughters are considered extremely expensive offspring. Parents start saving up right from the daughter's birth to ensure that they have enough wealth as well as material goods together to see their daughter well taken care of by the time she is of marriageable age. In northern India, today this age can vary from 18 to 25, though exceptions do apply depending on socioeconomic factors.
But then, you made it sound slightly frightening. Do people own up to the fact that they have taken dowry or given dowry?
Dowry is one of those social practices which no educated Indian would own up with pride, although many still adhere to this much deplorable practice. Dowry continues to be given and taken. Even among the educated sections of society, dowry continues to form an essential part of the negotiations that take place in an arranged marriage. During the marriage ceremony, the articles comprising the dowry are proudly displayed in the wedding hall. Dowry is still very much a status symbol. A number of marriage negotiations break down if there is no consensus between the bride's and the groom's family. Dowry deaths of a newly married bride are still regular in the news.
Let us see how this has come about. I asked Hemalata Maheshi, an attorney practicing in Bangalore and in Delhi in various courts. She is a member of the State Commission for Women. She is a writer, very active with the women writers in Karnataka. Hemalata, a bill was passed as early as the 60s of the last century. But we don't seem to have gone much further than just passing the bill. It was supposed to curb the menace of dowry. Tell us something about the way it has been framed to fit into the religious, social, and historical ambience of the country. Because dowry, I don't think, is a very ancient practice in India.
The present-day dowry system, it may be a new thing, but it has got its root in olden days. How it has started, let us see. See, in those days, particularly the Hindu women, they did not have property rights. They had only the right over their own property, which was known as Tridhana or women's property. Women's property is described as the thing which is given to her during the time of her marriage. So they all comprise the Sridhana property, and the peculiarity of this Sridhana property is she was the absolute owner of that property, whereas other women did not have that right, and even husband could not have taken advantage of that, or he did not have any authority over that Sridhana property of the woman. Only during the distress time he could have used that, otherwise it belonged to the women. Therefore, since she did not have the property right, naturally, fathers, they used to give their daughter something during the time of the marriage. That was given to the daughter in those days. But difference between the Sridhana and dowry is now they are demanding dowry for bridegroom, not to the girl. It goes to the bridegroom now. That is the difference between Sridhana and... So that is the origin of this dowry system.
We know that dowry is illegal. It is not done.
We have heard a lot of instances where marriage negotiations break down if there is no consensus between the brides and the groom's families. Dowry deaths of a newly married bride are always in the news. So Hemalata, is it possible for the authorities to just walk into a wedding hall and find out if dowry has been given or how much of dowry has been given?
No, certainly that right is not given to the police authorities. Under the law, the aggrieved persons will have to give the complaint, either the girl herself or her relatives, parents or other relatives. They can give the dowry complaint to the police authorities. Only after that, police will get the right to make inquiry and arrest the culprits who have taken the dowry or who have harassed the girl for the sake of dowry. So that power comes only after the complaint is lodged. And one more thing is, recently, after the amendment, one more authority or power is given to the social organizations also, social welfare or welfare organizations. These women's organizations can register themselves with the government And thereafter, even they can lodge the complaint with the police if they come to know that a particular girl is being harassed for dowry by her in-laws, by her husband. So that right is also given to the women's organizations now.
We've been talking about the system of dowry among the people of the majority community, that is the Hindus in India. Is demanding or giving dowry an offense only amongst the Hindus? What about the Muslims? I have young Salma with me, who is working in the field of education and training and also has studied law. Please tell me, Salma, there is this word saying mehar. What is mehar in a Muslim marriage?
Mehar is a sum of money or other property which the husband has to pay to the wife on marriage. It's a sum the wife is entitled to as a consideration for marriage. It may be either prompt, that is, payable immediately, or deferred, that is, payable on divorce or death of either of the parties. The amount of mehar is determined by considerations of social position, economic conditions, personal qualities, circumstances, etc.
That sounds good. The bride gets money. But then, I have heard that the dowry system has pervaded the Muslim community also in India today. So, is it practiced the way it is practiced in the Hindu community also?
Though ideally it should not be asked for by the bridegroom, it is a fact that asking for dowry is prevalent widely in the community in our country.
As you said, even among the Muslims, that mehar system that was created to help the women. The time of the divorce, husband will have to give so much of amount to the girl, that is the mehar amount. But now what has happened is that mehar amount is getting less. Only nominal amount is being fixed at the time of the marriage. That is nothing. Just it may be 4 rupees, it may be 10 rupees, 100 rupees. It is nothing. But whereas they are expecting dowry for their sons. These parents, they expect dowry for their sons, even among the Muslims and Christians also. It has spread to the, perhaps to the lower strata of the society. It has spread because of this consumerism.
Hemlata, how does the Dowry Act relate to the Christians?
Oh yes, that question was put to me, and it is a common law. That means it does not apply only to Hindus. It's not a Hindu law. It's a general law applicable to all Christians, Muslims, Parsis, to everyone. So it is not confined to Hindus only. It's a general law applicable to all in India.
Dowry is the practice to help the bride to set up her house by buying a refrigerator, some furniture, maybe a car. Does the giving of money, valuables, etc. during a marriage amount to the giving of dowry?
If it is given to the bride without any force, it does not amount to dowry. But if it is given to the bridegroom, it may be in any form, movables, immovables, car, refrigerator, even some securities, cash, anything it may be, if it is given to the bridegroom on demand, that amounts to dowry. One more condition is there under the law. That is, if it exceeds the capacity of the father, girl's father, if it is within his capacity, and if he gives those things out of free love and affection to his daughter, to his son-in-law, it does not amount. But if it exceeds his limit, capacity, financial capacity, that itself shows that there is a demand. He is under coercion. He is a victim. Girl's father is a victim. So all these things should be taken into consideration, and all these things should be given in connection with the marriage. Then only it amounts to dowry.
What kind of punishment is meted out under the Act for demanding dowry or harassing a bride, asking her to get dowry, and or burning her or killing her or whatever?
There are several categories of offenses connected to dowry. Giving dowry, taking dowry, demanding dowry, they all amount to offenses. But they are punishable with just 3 months punishment, that is imprisonment, or with fine. That is not much. Even just with fine, they may be let off. One more opportunity is given to them. Within 1 month of the taking of the dowry, they should transfer it to the name of the bride. That is also there under the law. If they don't transfer it, that also amounts to another offense. So these are all several offenses under the Dowry Act, smaller offenses, but harassment. Under the Indian Penal Code, harassment in order to coerce her to bring dowry, that is a major offense. And for that, higher punishment is prescribed. And for dowry death is defined as either it may be suicide or it may be burning or any such thing, murdering the girl for the sake of dowry. They are heinous offenses. For that, life imprisonment is also provided for dowry deaths. If someone harasses her for dowry and that leads to suicide, then the abettors who harass her for dowry, they are liable to be punished even with life imprisonment. And even those who burn the bride, life imprisonment, that is equivalent to murder. So even life imprisonment or even death, sometimes if it is very cruel, it is very cruelly done, then they will have to face the death sentence also in India.
In the early part of the last century, dowry was unheard of in the rural setup. Yes, since the daughter was not entitled to a portion of the land, she would be given some jewelry, some money to manage any extra needs. But today, the villagers seem to be aping the urban people, and it has become a prestige to announce that so much money was given as dowry in a marriage. Farmers are selling their land to provide for dowry for their daughters.
I have with me two women from the rural Karnataka, Nagamani and Chikkirama. I'm asking Nagamani to tell me how much of dowry is being given or taken in rural marriages.
Nanu gotira age onda varsha dinda kododu tagolodu suru agide.
Nagamani says that when she got married, there was no question of anybody giving dowry. She says in the last decade or so, this problem of dowry has come up in the rural areas also. Vardakshine andre yest keltare, yen keltare?
Vardakshine kelbekadre on 100 gram chinna, ond gaadi, matte 50,000 rupay kottu madhuve maadkodi anta keltare nam kade.
According to Nagamani, when a girl has to be married in the rural Karnataka, the groom's people will ask for 100 grams of gold if they are landowners, car or a two-wheeler, and a marriage where thousands of people will come and eat and make merry. Nagamani, ಬೆಂಗಳೂರಿಗೆ ಬಂದಿದ್ದೀರಿ, ಸಾಕಷ್ಟು ಎಲ್ಲ ತಿಳ್ಕೊಂಡಿದ್ದೀರಿ. ನೀವು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಮಗಳಿಗೆ ಮದುವೆ ಮಾಡುವಾಗ ವರದಕ್ಷಿಣೆ ಕೊಡೋಕೆ ತಯಾರಾಗಿರ್ತೀರಾ?
ಕೊಡೋಕ್ಕಾಗಲ್ಲ. ಇವಾಗ ಎಲ್ಲ ಕಡೆ ಟಿ ವಿ ಎಲ್ಲ ನೋಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀವಿ, ಅದರಿಂದ ನಾವು ಕೊಡಬಾರ್ದು. ನಮ್ಮ ಮಗಳ ನಮ್ಮ ಅವಳ ಕಾಲ ಮೇಲೆ ಅವಳು ನಿಲ್ಲಿಸ್ಬೇಕು ಅಂತ ನಾವು ಅಂದ್ಕೊಂಡಿದ್ದೀವಿ.
ನಾಗಮಣಿ ಈಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ವಿಮೆನ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ವಾಚಿಂಗ್ ದ ಮೀಡಿಯಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಲರ್ನ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ದ dowry is an illegal act, and she says she will make her daughter stand on her own legs and will not give any dowry. I wish there were more people like her. Do you think, as a women's commission person, do you see that as something that has become a part of the upward mobility or social climbing, or what do you say about that?
Perhaps this phenomenon was there even earlier. Rural indebtedness is well known. For the sake of daughter's marriage, even in those days they used to sell away their property, whatever little property they had got, they used to sell away that or enter into debt. take debts and lifelong they will have to toil hard for discharging that debt. And that expectation is there. These bridegrooms, they expect television sets for themselves. Now there's bikes, motorbikes. It has become a craze. Even in rural areas, they demand motorbikes. Or they may demand even tractors for them. So whatever they want for their occupation or something, or to make their life a little luxurious. Even in rural areas, it is true, they are expecting dowry now. In any form, it may be in cash, or maybe in kind. And sometimes they expect that in order to get into, if they want to start some business, give me the capital money for starting that business, or to set up a house, to buy a plot of land. Such is the expectation in rural areas.
Hemlata, please tell us a little more about the misuse of this law. Surely this law has been misused by a lot of women. So we would like you to speak a little bit about that.
Like any other law, there is a scope for misuse regarding this law also. Sometimes these marriages go wrong because of so many things. It may be due to the incompatibility, or a girl was forced into the marriage, or boy was forced into the marriage, or sometimes there may be interference of the elders, and so many things are there. Due to that, there may be breakup of the marriage. It comes to that stage. What these girls' side, they think is two things. For two things, they want to take advantage of this law. One is to take revenge upon the bride's side for throwing out the daughter from their house. That is one thing, to take revenge. The second thing is to bring pressure on them, pressure on the bridegroom and his parents, to take back the girls to their house, to the matrimonial house. For these two things, the law may be misused. And one more thing is girls, perhaps sometimes they are forced into the marriage. They did not want to get into this marriage or marry that particular person. She may be interested in some other person. What she does is, after marriage, she goes into that house, matrimonial home. And after some time, she comes back to her parents' house saying that she was, for the sake of dowry, she was harassed by the in-laws. Naturally, people believe such things when she says those things for her own purpose. Many of these reasons, the dowry law is being misused, and the conviction rate itself in the courts show that this dowry law is being misused. Because once the complaint is given, police take action. They go, because it is a cognizable offense. Say they go to bridegroom's place, they arrest the bridegroom and his parents. Sometimes even bridegroom's sisters put them in the jail for some time till they take the bail. So till they take the bail, they should be in the jail. It may be about a week or even 10 days. So thereafter what happens is, once they are put in the jail, that rift widens. They start thinking, oh, this girl has put us in jail. There is no chance of reconciliation. And conviction rate is very low in India. It may be just 1 or 2% conviction rate in the courts. All other cases are acquitted. And one more reaction to this misuse is, now husbands, harassed husbands of this dowry law misuse cases, they are organizing themselves into organizations. So in Bangalore also, there is an organization called Sangya Balya. Such husbands who are harassed by the misuse of this law, they are organizing themselves. Even in the All India level, they have organized. So it is gaining ground. They are demanding that the law should be amended. Don't give so much of power to the police. Because of that power, bride's side, they are misusing the law. Therefore, make it non-cognizable. Don't give so much of power to the police. Just come and arrest the bridegroom's side immediately after the complaint is lodged. That power should not be there with the police. So there is a demand now for the amendment of the law because of the rampant misuse of the law.
Do you think it will be amended? Do you think people will listen to that? Because there are some things which are more emotional than logical. Maybe dowry also becomes one like that?
I think if it gains ground and demand becomes very vociferous, then government will have to amend it. And even sometimes we also feel that because of this corruption and all these things, we should not give so much of power into the hands of the police. That is the idea behind that. Even sometimes we feel police should not be the arbitrators in such matters. Perhaps if the number grows in size, law will have to be amended in near future.
One last question, Hemlata. How active are campaigns by women's groups in bringing about a change in this aspect?
This dowry law, it was first enacted in 1961. But till 80s, not even a single case was registered under that act. That shows how effective was that law. That does not mean if there was not even a single case under the law that was registered, that does not mean there was no dowry case at all. Dowry has vanished. That is not the case. So they ran parallel. On the one side there was law, on the other side this dowry system grew in size, quality, quantity and everything. So after this 1975 was declared as the International Women's Year, and then 10 years International Women's Decade, in India, women's organizations grew in power. Women organized themselves. They took up several issues of women into their hands. And they started agitation for amendment, change and all those things. And dowry was one of those issues. Particularly because in Delhi and other North Indian cities, the number of these bride burning cases increased in 1980s. Or perhaps there were cases, but they were not brought out. But after this 1980s, we started hearing about these bride burning cases more and more. So women were agitated, and they took up this as one of the causes and main issue. And they fought for the change, and Dowry Prohibition Act, it became stronger, and it gained teeth, and punishment became severe, and so many other amendments were made in Evidence Act, in Criminal Procedure Code, in Indian Penal Code. So totally, because of the women's movement, this Dowry Prohibition Act became stronger.
It is only the educated woman setting out in her life who can stop this menace. But then, like a young woman was telling me the other day, "Oh, my father can afford it, and he gives. I would rather take the dowry than go on working to enhance the earnings of my husband all my life." Maybe there's a way out. Maybe our greed is growing out of all proportions. And maybe a very serious campaign is needed to educate the modern Indian woman to say no to a marriage where demands for dowry are made. Rupa, a final word from you?
Certainly. I agree with you. Women should be firm and refuse the system of dowry. This is the only way to bring about social change.
On that note, we end this show. Thank you, Hemlata, for your expert inputs. Aparna for the song and helping me with the comments. Ramurthy for the sound. And Salma for the Muslim viewpoint. And Chikirama and Nagmani for the input on the rural scene. And this is Indu Ramesh with Rupa Tirumalai saying goodbye from Bangalore in India.
ಎಮ್ಮ ಮನೆ ಅಂಗಳದಿ ಬೆಳೆದೊಂದು.
The preceding program is now available on CD. For ordering information, email wings@wings.org. Wings is supported by subscriptions, gifts, and grants. For contact information, email wings@wings.org. We thank all our supporters, including your local radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of 36 Steps to a Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit squist.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Music and Talk Radio.